Welcome to the Relatable Finance Podcast. Here are your hosts, Joseph Carl and Shane Phillips.
So in this episode, we're going to talk about marijuana or cannabis, which has been a really hot topic lately in the investing world. Marijuana has been legalized both medically and recreationally in certain regions of the country and abroad. And with that, there are more people willing to try it. For example, I get questions from clients and friends all the time about it. I even had a family member who tried some for the first time in their life to try and help with some chronic pain. That would have not been a thought 5 years ago.
Yeah, same thing with me, Joe. I've had a lot of people ask me about this and from all walks of life, which I think was the interesting thing. So I had some clients in their 80s who asked about investing in it for its long-term potential and their belief that it really does help from a medical perspective. I had a client in her 70s tell me she tried a lotion with CBD oil in it to help with arthritis and pain management. And then I had a friend of mine ask about it to see how they could invest in it just because they think it should be legal nationwide, and it will be, and they think when that's done, it will make a good investment. So three very, very different stories, but at the end of the day, looking for ways to invest in the industry.
So before we get into the details, we wanted to be clear what this episode of Relatable Finance is and is not. As everyone knows, this podcast is about finance, so our discussion today will focus on the investment aspects and opportunities within the space. With that said, our intent here isn't to say that this company is a buy or that that company is a sell. Rather, our objective is to explain some basics of the industry, some dynamics that are at play, and equip our listeners with some knowledge that will help you make better investment decisions. We also want to make a couple of disclosures. We are by no means experts in the cannabis game. We researched this from an investment perspective, so if we mispronounce something or aren't using that hip lingo, we apologize in advance. Next, this is an absolute rabbit hole of information. This podcast be hours long, and we still wouldn't cover everything. We may do another episode in the future, but today we wanted to cover the topics that we thought were most relevant. So let's start with the growth story. Cannabis consumption is expected to increase substantially in the next couple of years, from $12.2 billion in sales in 2018 to $31 billion in 2022 and $75 billion in 2030. This is huge growth. But the plant has been around for a really long time, so why all of a sudden is a huge potential growth possible? The answer is legalization and really greater acceptance. Going back to the example of a family member experimenting to deal with some chronic pain, or Shane's example of the lotion with CBD oil infused for arthritis, that would have never happened 5 years ago. With cannabis now legal in certain places, some who have never considered cannabis before are now willing to consider it.
Yeah, so just to set the stage a little bit more, and this may be some things people know, but recreational use is now legal in 10 states in the U.S., in addition to Washington, D.C., and medically it's legal in about 33 states. Probably one of the bigger things that helped the growth of this industry was in 2018 when Canada legalized it recreationally across the whole country. And this made it the second industrialized nation after Uruguay to make it legal. So just to fully understand what we're talking about today, I think when we talk about cannabis or marijuana, a lot of people just think about somebody smoking it and getting high. And that's probably what it's been thought about, you know, in the past. But with a lot of the changes, that's really why we're talking about it today. So marijuana is still classified as a Schedule I substance under the Controlled Substances Act, which basically means that from a federal perspective, it's still illegal. So a lot of this has been done state by state, but from a federal perspective, it's still illegal. One of the big buzzwords, and we've mentioned it a couple times already, is CBD. So just to fill you in on what CBD actually is it's a part of the plant that they're able to take, and is considered by many a portion of it that is safe, non-addictive, with potential benefits. So a lot of the things we've talked about were from the medical perspective, and really that's what they're doing a lot of research on. CBD is closely related to THC. And that might be what some people have heard about, and that's the compound that makes you feel high or stoned. And some of the initial research into this was, how can we get the benefits of the CBD without getting high? Some people wanted the benefits without that, and that's really what they've been able to do, is to decrease that THC amount and really get the benefits. So that's why CBD is looked into more and more, and you're starting to see it in more and more places. There's also been some recent findings that THC actually has some potential medical benefits as well. So a lot is going into these areas. There have been a few drugs that have been approved by the FDA containing either THC or CBD. So I think that sets a really good precedent going forward that there is some potential uses for this, and the FDA is agreeing with that.
Yeah, in short, the legalization and greater acceptance means that many more people may now start or at least be willing to consume cannabis products, opening up the opportunity for companies to come in and capitalize on opportunity and earn profits.
Yeah, and I think we said, you know, things are changing. What we've seen in the cannabis industry, a lot is just going to continue to change, and it's going to be accepted more and more, and that's why from an investment standpoint, it's getting more and more potentially attractive.
So next, how do we capitalize on this? From an investment perspective, what are some things to consider? Well, there are different types of companies and industries trying to capitalize on the potential growth.
Yeah, and when we looked at the ways to invest in it, we kind of broke it down into three areas where we saw it. And one of them that we initially started looking into was dispensaries. And the funny thing about kind of everything we did is the more you learn about this, the more you kind of feel like you didn't understand it to begin with. And as I started looking into dispensaries, what I took away from it is it's definitely, once again, growing industries, but most of these dispensaries aren't just dispensaries. They're doing everything from the growth to the packaging to the shipping to ending up in those stores. There's a lot of companies in this space, but there's a lot of consolidation happening as well. Most of these companies have between 10 and 30 locations. A lot of them are waiting on future licenses to continue to open more and more, but it's not just that end product that you're seeing when you walk into a dispensary. They're doing everything from the initial growth through the sale.
There's also biotech companies trying to capitalize on the medical aspects. These are both small and large firms. For example, AbbVie is a much larger firm with a market cap of over $100 billion. These are researching the medical aspects and how to best capitalize on the opportunity. This is an area that's likely to really develop and grow over time as more legalization and more money and resources are focused on those efforts.
And then the last area is what we kind of looked at as all those other products. We mentioned the CBD oil-infused lotion, and the CBD can really be brought into a lot of different forms. There's oils, there's extracts, liquids, creams, capsules. So many different things that you can put it into that would make it easy to put into other products. So some other products that we've read about that it could be used in would be to treat anxiety, PTSD, pain relief. It could help improve sleep. There's animal products that it's being talked about used in. There's alcoholic beverages and also the potential for athletic drinks, which I thought was interesting. These are becoming more and more mainstream, like we said. CVS and Walgreens are going to start carrying these products if they haven't already. Cosmetic brands, Sephora and Ulta are starting to use some of these products in some of their offerings as well. So definitely a lot of different things besides just, you know, the marijuana, smoking the marijuana that it can be used in and are starting to be used.
So this is great. We have an industry that is almost certainly expected to grow at an above average clip for an extended period of time, opening up new opportunities for companies to earn profits, as well as potential opportunities to earn higher than average investment returns. So with all this good stuff, what can the risk be?
Yeah, I mean, there's definitely a risk to it because it is a relatively new industry. But I think from an investment perspective, like you kind of said, it's interesting from the fact that it is still relatively young, and there's a lot of future potential for it. But, you know, with that, there are some questions we have as well.
Yeah, so let's go over these challenges. First, determining what is realistic. Certainly consumption will grow, but not everyone in the United States is going to be using cannabis, right? How can we gauge potential consumption and therefore potential sales revenue? According to research from BDS Analytics, adult use in states where medical use was legal was 25% in the third quarter of 2018, an increase from 23% just 6 months earlier. Further, per data from the Substance Abuse and Mental Health Services Administration, cannabis use across all states was 13.4%.
Yeah, and you can look at it and just think there will be growth, and growth will be good. But some of the questions that we kind of had that are taken into consideration when you look at this is, will legalization occur in the other states? You know, there's been some pretty good adoption, but will the rest of those states create laws to fully do that or not is a big question. And with that, if those states do become legal, will the consumption there be similar to the current states? Another one will be between medicinal and recreational. Where will the rates increase more or less? How will that be divided up? And when we look at the current states and some of these numbers you just went over, Joe, how much of that is due to tourism and the fact that a lot of states have to go on to another state to buy this legally? And will that decrease a lot once there's more legalization?
Next, there's going to be winners and losers. The cannabis industry is relatively young, so we haven't seen things fully play out yet, but there are winners and losers in every industry. Think of Apple over BlackBerry, Netflix over Blockbuster, Google over Yahoo, Nike over Reebok. The winners are going to be the companies that innovate the most, create competitive advantages, have creative marketing strategies, and capture the biggest market share. The challenge here from an investment perspective is we don't know yet who the big brand name winners will be and who the losers will be. You can do research and try to make an educated guess, but given how young and new the space is, things can change rather quickly. Further, if the cannabis industry does not develop into an industry with big brand names, it will mean that there will be many players in a highly commoditized industry. In this scenario, profit margins will be lower and the revenue earning potential will be lower, and therefore lower potential returns from an investment perspective.
Yeah, I mean, all great things to consider and that are being considered. If I would boil all that down to one thing I would focus on is, are these companies making money? From just a very simple perspective. And what we've seen so far is a lot of these companies aren't. A lot of that is due to the fact that they're, you know, building out very quickly, building farms and dispensaries and all of that. So that is taking up a lot of capital. But when it boils down to it, you know, a company that's not making money maybe doesn't sound like the best investment. There is precedent for companies like this still doing well. So Amazon for years lost money. For 4 years after they went public, they were losing money. And then even after that, they were barely profitable. But as we all know now, Amazon is one of the biggest companies in the world. So when we're looking at this, it doesn't say that these are going to be bad companies. It just might take a little bit. When we're thinking about this industry as well, I also don't think people are looking to invest in it to, you know, make a simple return or a decent return and get a dividend. I think it's really for the future growth and that long-term potential. So there is the hope that they'll turn some of those losses into profits as they get more infrastructure. Maybe they increase sales for some of the growth numbers and projections that we've been talking about. But then figuring out which one or handful of these companies will be the ones that ultimately win out.
Yeah, so that kind of leads into the next topic of the discussion, or the next concern, which is that there are also sky-high valuations, no pun intended. Normally, with mature industries, you would use more traditional valuation measures, such as forward price-to-earnings ratio or price-to-book. These take actual or projected data from the company and compare it relative to the current stock price. When you compare the ratio versus history or versus peers within the industry, you can get a sense of whether the stock price is expensive or cheap. That's difficult to do right now because these companies haven't been around for that long and they don't even have a positive earnings. Therefore, it's difficult to apply these types of valuation metrics. They can also try to use other types of valuation metrics, such as those in similar types of industries, such as the life science area, where you can look at medical acceptance and commercialization. Again, these are close substitutes, but they're not exact. So there's no true correlation between the two.
Yeah, and I think what we kind of agreed on being the one valuation metric we can look at is the price to sales ratio, because all of these companies have sales to some extent. So what we looked at were some of these companies, some of the bigger names, and what they were trading at. And most of them were trading at a price to sales ratio of 100 or even higher than that in a lot of cases. And that's really high. And to just compare it to some more well-known, to some more well-known companies, Apple, for example, has been trading at a price-to-sales ratio of about 3 over the last few years, Walmart has been at about 0.5. So just comparatively speaking, obviously those are much more mature companies, but a lot of these companies are very, very expensive from a valuation perspective.
There's also corporate governance issues. What does this even mean? Companies are typically started by an individual or several individuals. Over time, the company may need to raise capital to build the business and expand operations. One way to do this would be to get a loan or a line of credit, but since cannabis hasn't been fully legalized in the United States, many financial institutions have been hesitant to offer these traditional means of financing. Even in Canada, where recreational use is now legal, traditional bank financing hasn't been that prevalent. So instead, much of the capital raising has been done through deals where shares of stock, convertible debentures, options, and/or warrants are sold. What this means is that the number of shares of stock is going to increase. Value of the shares that were outstanding prior to those deals will be diluted. Essentially, what this means is that prior shareholders, their shares are going to be worth less because these types of deals are introducing more shares of stock into the same equation, dividing earnings into more shares of stock. In addition, there are additional further concerns that we need to go over. Supply and demand imbalances. Given that legalization is happening in certain places and not in others, there's some trying to front run the scenario and produce a lot more. This is likely to suppress prices and lower profits in the near term.
Yeah, another area is the illegal substitute. So obviously, there's a place to buy this legally and illegally in most cases. How is that illegal portion going to affect the future and growth of these legal companies that would be the ones you'd actually be able to invest in?
Yeah, also actual health benefits associated with cannabis. While some people swear by it, really in reality, studies have not been around long enough and thorough enough to prove that cannabis actually does improve certain aspects of health.
Mm-hmm. Another area is, once again, the fact that it is still illegal under federal law. And when we look at that and we actually look at the individual businesses, it brings into question some deductibility of business expenses. It might, from a tax and an accounting perspective, cause some problems due to its illegal nature, and how that's going to be dealt with isn't fully clear at this point.
Yeah. Lastly, there's debates over whether this growth story is just a fad or it's a long-term play. I think everyone agrees that there's certainly some growth to be had here, but whether it comes down to an area where legit profitability can be made over a sustained long period of time, that's still up for debate. In reality, there are many dynamics at play here, and we could spend hours discussing this. But as we mentioned earlier, in the interest of time, we wanted to go over the items that we thought were most relevant today. So now that we have gone through the growth potential as well as some challenges by the industry, the question is it legal to invest and how should you participate?
Yeah, and I think that is probably the question I've gotten most. Either people are being surprised that you could invest in it or just wondering how to do it. And from what we can gather, and there's a lot of different opinions on this, actually investing in these companies you shouldn't be worried about. Technically, you are investing in a company that is, once again, doing things that are illegal per the federal government. But it doesn't seem like that should be much of a worry. And when we look at where to invest, in a lot of cases, they're Canadian companies trading on U.S. exchanges or U.S. companies trading in Canada. One thing we would say is when looking to invest, probably sticking towards the bigger exchanges, NASDAQ, New York Stock Exchange, might make more sense from a risk perspective, as opposed to stocks trading over the counter, which have a little bit less in terms of regulatory issues. But there are plenty of companies out there, depending on what type of company you're looking for, you know, based upon some of the different types we talked about earlier. And I'm sure that will continue to grow as the industry grows. Another area that has started to become a little bit bigger is investing in ETFs or exchange-traded funds, which is basically a way of investing in an industry, but in a more diversified way. So instead of picking a couple of companies, you're able to buy an ETF that invests in 30 or 40 different companies that are somehow tied to the cannabis or marijuana industry, and could be a way to, you know, invest in more of the prospects than those individual companies, taking away some of that individual stock risk.
So to recap, the legalization of cannabis for medicinal and recreational use is leading to greater acceptance and therefore opportunity for businesses to come in and capitalize. There are a wide range of companies that are trying to take advantage of this opportunity, from in-sellers such as dispensaries to pharmaceutical companies for medicinal purposes. Strong growth is expected in the coming years as more states are expected to legalize and greater acceptance continues. While few doubt the growth prospects, there are various challenges to consider from an investment perspective, such as determining when legalization will occur, current high valuations of the stock prices, and corporate governance issues. There are differing opinions as to the legality of investing in cannabis stocks, given that it's illegal federally here in the United States, but you can invest in Canadian cannabis companies. It's legal in Canada as a nation, and they're listed here on U.S. stock exchanges. We hope you enjoyed this episode of Relatable Finance. As always, if you have any questions, please don't hesitate to email us at podcast@probwealth.com or check us out on Twitter at Finance Podcast.
Provenance Wealth Advisors is not a registered broker-dealer and is independent of Raymond James Financial Services, Inc. Securities are offered through Raymond James Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA SIPC. Investment advisory services are offered through Provenance Wealth Advisors and Raymond James Financial Services Advisors, Inc. Any opinions are those of Relatable Finance Podcast and PWA, and not necessarily those of Raymond James. The information contained in this report does not purport to be a complete description of the securities, markets, or developments referred to in this material. There is no assurance that any of the trends mentioned will continue or forecasts will occur. The information has been obtained from sources considered to be reliable, but Raymond James does not guarantee that the foregoing material is accurate or complete. Any information is not a complete summary or statement of all available data necessary for making an investment decision and does not constitute a recommendation. Investment involves risk, and you may incur a profit or loss regardless of strategy selected. Diversification and asset allocation do not ensure a profit or protect against a loss. Investing involves risk, and investors may incur a profit or loss. Raymond James does not provide tax or legal services. Please discuss these matters with the appropriate professional. Past performance does not guarantee future results. Future investment performance cannot be guaranteed, and investment yields will fluctuate with market conditions. Any examples given in the podcast are for illustration purposes only. Actual investor results will vary.